Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Monday Morning Solution edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Very happy to be coming to you from the Lineup Media Group Studios here on this day late edition due to the July 4th holiday, Independence Day, as I like to call it, and remember what it's really about and what it's for. And hope everybody had a safe and happy holiday and was able to enjoy some great time, whether it be on the baseball field or just enjoying your family, doing whatever it is that you enjoy to do. So tell you a little bit about us real quick. We are Youth Baseball Talk. You can learn a whole lot about us at youthbaseballtalk.com. At Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle. We do a lot through Twitter. Find it very informative, especially with all the people we follow. If you follow us, we're going to follow you back because we want to know what you find interesting, some of the things that are going on. We get a lot of great topics through Twitter. So at Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle there. Of course, Facebook's always great, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. A lot of informative stuff, especially with the ability to use videos and things like that. Facebook's a great way to communicate with some of the great instructors and coaches out there for sure. The emails, I love them. Keep them coming. info@youthbaseballtalk.com. Love to hear from you guys. I got to say that when I started the Monday Morning Solutions, I don't think I anticipated how passionate people were going to be about some of these topics. And I think it's great. I've had some people disagree with me, and we've had great conversations. They haven't been ignorant. They haven't been combative. They've been great conversations back and forth with differences of opinion, because somewhere in the middle is what needs to be going on. So I do appreciate those as much, if not more, than the ones calling saying, hey, I've thought the same thing for years, or hey, I'd never thought about this, or whatever. Those are great, but I love the ones that give me another view, because it keeps me on my toes. And I obviously am not perfect, and I think about things more, especially when people provide me with a different objective view. So I think it's great. Subscribe to the show. That's what we're always asking you guys to do, only because if we do a special edition or the Monday Morning Solution or a regular show, it keeps you informed when those shows come out. It's very easy to do. You just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet and just click the subscribe button. You'll obviously have the opportunity to give us a rating and a review, as we appreciate those as always. I mentioned to you, we were coming to you from the Lineup Media Group Studios. Very proud to be a part of this great organization. Check out their website, lineupmedia.fm. I'm sure you'll find a show on there that provides you some great entertainment for your time. It's awesome shows, and they're growing each and every week. And I can't thank the people here at lineupmedia.fm enough for helping me promote my show as well. You guys have shared the show with all your friends, and that's how we've continued to grow. I'm going to ask you to keep doing that, whether it be through Facebook, Twitter, email, whichever way you communicate with the people that are involved in baseball or just have kids playing or coaching or training or whatever it may be. You guys are the main reason why the show has grown to where it is, so thank you. And, of course, my shameless Amazon plug is, as I really do appreciate the fact that you guys have taken the time to do this, just go to youthbaseballtalk.com, find that Amazon banner down on the right, click it, then do your shopping through Amazon. We get a little bit of a referral. It costs you nothing, but it obviously helps us keep the show on the air. So appreciate that love very much. My Monday Morning Solution this week is an interesting topic. I'm kind of doing this with a purpose, if you can imagine, because I know what I'm about to say comes from a mind of a guy that knows just enough to be dangerous, right? So, you know, I'm not knee deep in this arena yet, but I do have friends that do it, and I ask them for thoughts and advice. But I got to ask an honest, you know, even though I've had this conversation with people that really know and are in the know, as an outsider looking in, I got to ask this question, and that's this: when did college coaches quit recruiting baseball players? Now, I know that's a broad-stroked question, and it's an obvious question asked, because I want to have a conversation. So, you know, sometimes you ask a question and you already know the answer a little bit, but you're asking it anyway for effect. I'm kind of doing that right now. It's kind of like when you ask your kid, you know, hey, when did we stop cleaning up our room? Well, we didn't, but we're asking you because we want to know why. We want to know the why it didn't get done. So I'm kind of taking that to this extreme, and that is, it's an honest question. When did we stop recruiting baseball players? Now, obviously, they're recruiting baseball players. But what I'm getting at is, you know, this is a trend that I see, and if I see it just on the level of the baseball that I see, I can't believe it's not going on everywhere. But I also know that I don't have this nice little comfy cocoon going on over here, and everything that's happening right here is how it is everywhere in the world. So let me say that this is kind of how I see it. I see kids that are really good players, and all they do, for example, is field, make all the plays, hit, play well in big games, and, you know, they play for great organizations, they play for great schools, high schools, and you never hear anything about them. But yet, and this is where it's going to get interesting, okay, but yet, I see kids. You know, your kid plays on a high school team, and you always hear about these kids, quote-unquote kids, and it's like, okay, I got to go up and watch. This guy's coming in from such and such a school. He's going to Arizona State. He's going to Louisiana State. He's going to Vanderbilt. He's going to wherever. Doesn't matter. Okay, you got to see this kid. He throws 92. He's 6'4", blah, blah, blah. So then you go up there, and you watch this game. And this kid that's going to this school does in fact throw 90, 91, can't throw a strike, okay, has no composure on the mound whatsoever. And I'm not knocking the kid, okay, that's not where I'm going with this. But, and I get it, okay, but and the kid on the other team that gets a couple of knocks against him and then makes a few plays, you know, he's going nowhere. So I've never understood this. So I've had some conversations about it, and what it comes down to is this. You know, it's not just pitching. I'm not knocking the pitching. I mean, it's, hey, look at this outfielder, man. He's going somewhere. Look how fast he is. Man, he runs the 60 and whatever. And, you know, so my question is, I played a little bit of baseball, not at the highest levels. I 1 year of college, okay? I never, in a game, started at a cone and ran to the other cone. Now, I'm not dumb. I understand they're looking for speed because speed is involved within the game, okay? But, you know, this kid that supposedly is lightning fast got picked off, you know, took a bad route to a baseball, okay? But yet he's going here, and the kid that gets the great jump on the ball, the kid that runs the bases the right way, where's he going? You know, see, this is where I'm going, okay? The kid that struck out 4 times that's going here, because when he does connect, he's got massive power. And again, I'm not dumb enough, and I'm not going to play completely ignorant here and not say that I don't understand the quote-unquote measurables. Okay? I get it. But have we, you know, I've had Darren Hendrickson on the show. I've had other guys on the show. And they talk about, you know, the showcase, and that's becoming a term now. Okay? I hear that one as much as I hear anything. Showcase player. You know, he's a cage warrior. He's a 5 o'clock player, a showcase player. You know, this kid that looks really good and but can't play. You know, and again, I'm not knocking kids. It's you become what you are, kind of, right? You know, at some juncture, you know, you can look good in a cage. You can throw at 100 miles an hour. You can run really fast. But can you play? Now, there's a lot of coaches out there, I'm sure, right now that are listening to this going, boy, I'd like to coach against this guy every day and twice on Sunday because I'll take, you know, all these studs and give him his quote-unquote baseball players and I'll beat the snot out of him. Well, I guess. I don't know. But it's just a question because I get it. I get the quote-unquote measurables, right? What are they now? It's what do we hear? What are the terms we hear all the time? It's bat speed, right? Ooh, his exit speed, his bat speed. His velocity on the mound, how fast is he? What's his pop time if he's a catcher? I get all that. I got it, right? What am I missing anything? Let's see. Exit speed. Well, there's bat angle. I don't know how they do that. And then we got velocity on the mound, right? We got speed in the outfield. And I think that's about it. And then they want, you know, I take that back. And then they hit in a cage, in a 90-foot cage, some guy out there throwing BP. Okay, well, the last time I checked, when you play in a game, there's no coach out there behind an L screen pitching to the guy, right? You gotta be able to hit in a game, right? So I get all that. Those are all measurables, and I understand too that nobody, you know, you would think nobody's just handing out offers and all this kind of stuff, And what's the offer really too? That's another thing. That's a whole nother topic, right? A whole nother discussion of, well, what's the offer, right? I mean, we want you to come play baseball here. We're not giving you any baseball money. Hey, thank goodness you're a really smart kid. You can get academic. Whatever it is, it's irrelevant to this conversation. But, you know, you would hope they're watching them play. But, okay, so I got that, right? Let's say we're all in agreement that those are the measurables, right? They are what they are. And again, you don't have to look any further than Twitter, Facebook, go to some of these great programs' websites and look at what they tweet out all the time, and that'll tell you what the measurables are. Okay, so that's great. And that's what everybody's training for, right, these measurables. Okay, where is – like, I'm okay with that because I get it. I understand it, but I would like to see exit speed, velocity, running speed, arm strength, baseball player. I'd like to see that become a measurable. You know, I would rather read about a kid that a coach glowingly talks about, you know, something to this degree. All he does is make plays. All he does is get hits in big situations, takes quality at bats, game in and game out, runs the bases at a high level, makes smart baseball decisions, works hard, comes to practice every day to get better, great teammate, good kid, humble. You can even be a little cocky. I mean, anybody that's played this game that thinks that you don't have to be a little bit cocky and arrogant to have success in this game of failure, you're fooling yourself. So let's, you know, that's another, those are always my favorite. I love all you guys out there, but that whole thing where you expect these kids to be able to play this game at a high level and not be somewhat confident, quote unquote, cocky, you're fooling yourself, okay? Because even the guys that you think are the most humble at the major league level inside have a tremendous amount of cockiness and arrogance. Some of them just don't show it as much, but you have to have it. You gotta have it. Otherwise, I mean, you're just gonna get beat down. Our good friend Steve Springer will tell you that from quality at bats. But that's the measurable that I'd like to see more, right? And you know, and I was puzzled by this, and I'll tell you. It came from a kid I know that's a great player, you know, but he's 5'10", he's 165 pounds, right? And I'm just shocked that he's going into his senior season, he's got nothing yet, but all, you know, he plays on a great team and all he does is make plays. So I'm confused. So I asked the question. Now, I had a great conversation with a guy that owns a program, and he explained a little bit more to me how it works. You know, he was nice enough to say, well, let me tell you how it works. So, and I get that. I'm good. Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is today is, you know, again, I'm not the coach. So, you know, these quote-unquote great coaches would probably love to coach against me because, you know, all I'd be doing is out there saying, but can he play, right? And listen, I'm not saying that I'm not as infatuated with you or the coaches or the scouts as anybody is with the numbers. I love it. I mean, I think it's awesome when you see a high school kid that hits a 500-foot home run or throws the ball 90-plus. I mean, to me, being the age I am, that's still an impressive number to me. Like, I know more and more kids are throwing 90 at a younger age. But that number still means something to me, and maybe it's because – you know, I'm a little bit older, and I remember when, you know, when somebody threw over 90, that was like, wow. Especially, you know, even pro guys, right? So, you know, to see a high school kid doing it, you know, still, I'm still in awe of it, even though I know it goes on a lot, right? So it's like, okay, I still think that's great, you know, again. And I think watching a guy that's fast as lightning run the bases the right way, there's nothing prettier than a triple from a guy that's lightning fast and can run the bases the right way. There's things I could watch all day long. I could show up to the park. The first thing, my favorite thing, is I could show up to the park and watch a kid take infield that can pick it. You know, and not just a kid, a high school player, college player, a pro player. I could watch that all day long. That's my favorite thing, is to watch how good these guys are with their hands and feet when they field ground balls. It's the one thing that I watch, and I'm just, it's like, oh, that is awesome. Then I love to watch BP and watch how it's really neat to watch the top level guys take BP, and you try to explain to kids or if you're a coach, you know, your kids, what BP really is. You know, they're not just in there swinging. They're in there doing this or that. I love to do it, right? I love to watch the way Tony Gwynn. I went to a Cardinal game when I was a kid, and I watched Tony Gwynn take BP. And it was a thing of beauty. I mean, he would lace four balls down the left field line, four balls in the left center, four balls up the middle, four balls in the right, and then it was, you know, and most of the time you see him take a number of pitches and they do this. Obviously, he had his own routine. But it was, I was with a friend of mine and we watched it just in awe. You know, it's just unbelievable. And I to this day, I talk to my kid about it. I talk to other kids about that approach and how it can help you. But, you know, those are some things I think are great. But one of the greatest things I think you'll ever see in a baseball game is if you're watching like a leadoff type hitter or maybe a number nine hitter with speed that bats a bomb lineup, when they lace one down the line or in the gap and they get three, there's nothing more exciting than that. So I understand the measurables. I understand that speed is great. And here's the other thing I get. So I don't need this part of it explained to me either. I understand that there probably are a lot more kids that can field really well, a lot more kids that can play and do this. There's just not as many kids at a young age that hit the ball 450 feet. You know, even though we have more kids throwing 90, it's still something that's hard to do, and that with the amount of people that are playing, the amount of kids. So I get that. I completely understand that. But it just seems to me that, and again, maybe I'm wrong, and that's why I'm asking a question. I mean, maybe some of our friends out there that are listening, and I do appreciate you guys. I know there's a lot of college coaches that listen to the show, and you guys are great to chime in. And I, you know, especially on Twitter, I see a lot of you guys retweeting or sharing or replying to some things. So I'm looking for you to get a hold of me and say, well, Jim, let me tell you, you're right or you're wrong, and here's the issue. And here's what we need to do, or here's what kids need to do, or they're getting a bad amount of information from people, or they're not, you know, here's what you need to do, right? Because to me, as a parent and as a guy, again, that is involved in it and knows just enough to be dangerous, what I see is I see a bunch of videos, I see a bunch of tweets, I see a bunch of kids in a building in October or February, and we're anointing them baseball players. Now, again, they play baseball, so I get that. But what about the kid that, you know, he's going to show up in your cage and he's going to be, your measurables in the cage are going to be below what you would consider to be, this is my favorite, is he a D1 kid? You know, well, you know, you got to have 105 mile an hour exit speed if you want to be a D1, or you got to be 4.7, or you got to throw 90 or whatever, you know. Now, we know that's not 100% true, right? And that would lead me to believe that I'm not 100% correct in my assessment, okay? Because there's all kinds of guys that we see, and you didn't have to look any further than the College World Series. There's lots of guys out there doing really well not throwing 90, right? Now, the conversation that I had about this topic with somebody that I respect very much, and he reminded me, he said, you got to remember, Jim, okay, I know what you're thinking about, and you're thinking about our own little area right here. Well, make no mistake about it, and this is where the great players come from. There's lots of really good players out there that are, in your opinion, great baseball players that also have those measurables. So those kids, that's the majority of the kids that are eating up some of what we would call the top schools and who's going there and who's playing. Now, the outlying guys, see, that's where you start hearing about some of these things that are going on at some of these top schools that make you scratch your head and go, man, that's an interesting situation. I had no idea that goes on. And one of those things is these guys just recruit a lot of players. And basically sometimes, man, when you go in there, you're fighting. I mean, yeah, that's great, and you got this offer, and you're going to school there, and you're going to play. But I hear more and more this thing being thrown around of, you know, I know that you can go there, but it may not be the best destination for you. I think you're going to get there and find that, maybe, you know, for lack of a better term, you may not be good enough to play there for 4 years. Now, to me, that sounds a little crazy. Now, if a kid really wants to go somewhere, you can't tell him, well, look, I'm going to squash your dream here and I'm going to do all this. And I applaud kids for still doing it. You know, a trend that I've had this conversation with many coaches, especially at the younger, not the younger level, I mean like the prep level and things like that, is, you know, they're concerned with all this, and some of the better program guys, again, another conversation I've had is sometimes these kids get in their mind that this is where they want to go, and they don't want to listen to the people that really understand the process and advise them against it, but because a school shows them a little bit of love, they go. And all the while, this coach is scratching his head going, you know what, I understand that I'm just going to pick a school. This is random. Boy, I know that Texas wants him. You know, I know he's going to Texas. But, man, I just got a bad feeling he's going to be looking for a school in a year. And the reason that that's out there is because from what I hear and what I see, that's happening more and more. More and more kids that leave are somewhere else in a year. And it's like, well, where was the disconnect here? And I understand that it's all, you know, schools are in the business of winning, especially in college. They can talk about education all they want. Some schools talk a good game. Some schools deliver on that, right? But the reality of it is that's not the case, right? I mean, these schools are looking for baseball players. You know, our friend of the show, Darren, Coach Hendrickson over at SLU, he admittedly has to recruit a different type of player because you could be the greatest baseball player in the world, but if you don't qualify to get into his school, you're not going to school there. Okay, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're just not, right? So he's recruiting a different type of player. But that doesn't mean he's just out there recruiting kids that are really, really smart or make really good grades. Okay? He's out there recruiting the best of the best of that bunch that are baseball players, right? Because what's his job? His job's to win, right? So I get all that, and I understand that there's things that are good and things that are bad that come along with that. And maybe one of the things that are bad is we're just out there recruiting numbers, and we're going to get all these kids in here, and basically are we hoping that a few of them hit because a few of them are going to miss because that's just the percentages in baseball? I don't know. That's the question I guess I'm asking. And if that's the thing, maybe a coach would tell me, well, Jim, I got to be honest with you. I don't know that you're that far off, but we recruit a number of those kinds of kids, and then we recruit some kids that we think show potential or show plus potential. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But it's a question I have to ask. Now, I would think for college that there's a lot of things that go into it for most colleges. Again, I know people that are going through this experience right now. You know, there's the application process. There's getting into the school. All coaches are a little bit different in what they look for in a player. You know, my favorite is, and I'm not dogging anybody, but my absolute favorite is these coaches that send out these really awesome videos or tweets and get everybody all riled up and say, I encourage I'm not recruiting anybody that just plays this sport. Bull crap. Take that and go sell crazy somewhere else. Okay? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You're not going to get – I understand that you're not going to get on Twitter or Facebook and say, I'm looking for football players, okay? You need to play football year-round. I understand you're not going to do that, but I also understand this. You're not rolling into town to see a five-star football recruit, and you're not going to sit him down and say what other sports you play, and he says, football, not interested, goodbye. You're not doing that. Don't sell me on that. It's not happening. I don't believe it for 1 minute. You're not gonna convince me of it. I'm not saying you don't think it's a great idea, but you're not going to convince me that you're going to tell a kid to hit the road because he didn't play other sports. I'm tired of everybody telling kids what they should and shouldn't do when it comes to that. The kid's going to do what he wants to do, okay? We can encourage. I know as a parent I like my kids doing different things, but at the end of the day they're going to, you know, I can only encourage. You can't make them do anything, right? Okay, so I don't buy that either. That sounds great. I saw one on, it was a local one. I saw one too where a coach got on there and turned around and gave a tirade to all the parents about how they should be doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that, and these kids shouldn't be doing. Well, guess what? Half your players do exactly what you just said you don't want them doing. And I know it for a fact. So that's great, and it sounds awesome, and I think it's all really cool, but you know, that's for effect, okay? I'm sorry, but that's exactly what it is. That's for effect. And again, I'm not saying they don't believe that. I got it. And I'm not saying I don't agree with it or disagree. It really doesn't matter what I think, okay? But those are great for like a social media burst of energy. Ooh, this is great. Couldn't agree. I loved it too. Couldn't agree more. You know, it was a perfect opportunity for all the quote unquote anti-select parents to jump on board because they've had a bad experience with select or travel ball. I've said it 1,000 times, select and travel ball gets a bad rap from people that just, you know, probably shouldn't have been involved in it from the get-go, okay? Or I'm also not naive not to know that there aren't a lot of bad situations out there, okay? I get that too. But that is my absolute favorite when some well-thought-of coach goes on a tirade about something that I hate to be honest with you about, really he doesn't know much about. He probably knows of an isolated incident that happened to a kid, like might be a brother of one of his players or a kid that's playing for him now. So he hears something from a parent, which you have no idea what the background is. Maybe that parent was parent that doesn't really get it. Maybe they thought their kid was better. Whatever. It's really irrelevant because it could be a million different reasons. Okay? But don't post something on Facebook about how your kid shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be doing that and should be doing this when half your kids, that's what they're doing, okay? You have no idea what's really going on, okay? And again, there's no way on God's green earth that if you're a high school baseball coach and some kid shows up and all he plays is baseball and he's a really good player, you're going to say, you know what, I'm not interested. You should have been playing football all these years too, or soccer or golf or whatever it is. It's irrelevant what it is. Not buying it. You can go sell that somewhere else because we're all stocked up here. That's crazy. Okay. So, I don't know. It's just a question. Love to hear some thoughts from you guys out there on it. I know from the engagement that we have from you guys, I've got all kinds of people listening to this. So, I know I've got college coaches, you know, that I've talked to. So, I know you're there and I know you're hearing this and you're probably thinking Jim's lost his mind. I gotta call him, which is fine. I'm lucky enough to know a few guys at Scout for major league teams. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Okay. I know I got program coaches that you guys deal with recruiting on a daily basis. Love to hear your thoughts. I've got the parents that are going through this right now, and you're going to call me up. And my guess is some of you are going to agree and some are going to disagree because it's worked out really well for you and it probably hasn't worked out well for others. And then, of course, I have kids that are listening to this that are going through it. Love to hear some of your stories. So, for me, again, it's just a question because, again, if we don't ask questions, we don't get answers and we don't fix things that are wrong. So just a thought. And, again, just an observation from a guy that sees things and sometimes I just ask why. Very simple. So make sure you email me those comments and questions, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. Looking forward to some of the conversations that we're going to have on this topic. Probably going to set up a show as we head into the fall, because, you know, this is when programs are having, like, picking out players and then they start their off-season training, and most of the good guys will tell you that, you know, summer ball's for playing. I mean, you get better in the off-season. So probably going to set up a regular episode. You know, obviously we have some great guys and we've talked at nauseam to Rick and some of the other guys about this. I may try to find somebody from an outside organization that might be able to shed some more light onto something like this. But, you know, maybe a round table would be a great thing to do. Get some people, have some conversations, you know, just difference. Because I guarantee you, whether it's Rick Strickland or Justin Stone or Matt Whiteside at the Gamers or Andy Bennis at the Pirates or some of these other programs out of town, you know, you got Troy Silva and Jose Rio up in Washington, you know, these guys like this. I guarantee you they've all got great stories, both good and bad, of this whole topic. So love to hear your thoughts on this. Remember, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. Make sure you're checking us out. Youthbaseballtalk.com is our website. @podcastbaseball is our Twitter handle. And, of course, we love to correspond with you guys on Facebook, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. You guys have a great week, and I'm going to see you on Thursday. Take care.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.